Hello.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Welcome to the 8123 podcast.
Yes. Today is February 1st, 2018.
Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you, man.
Happy birthday, man.
28 years old.
Wow.
Wild,
look,
right?
Look at you. You look just stunning.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I'm just going to tell you now. Hi, my name's Garrett. Did we do that yet?
No, we didn't do it yet.
Oh.
I'm Pat.
And we're part of the Maine.
Yes.
But you will not be hearing my voice at all during this conversation.
No.
This is Pat and his mother talking.
Yeah.
Breaking it down
my life, all of the weird things that I've done in my life, and, you know, kind of getting my mom's perspective on what it was like to have a son choose to go down the path of being in
no
a
return.
Band.
The path of no return.
Going off the rails.
Hey, man, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I haven't heard it. I'm excited to listen to this. So I'll find out a little bit about you.
My mom was a little nervous doing it. So she was running late for the interview. That sounds so weird. I'm interviewing my mom.
That is weird.
But she was like, yeah, I had to have a drink before I came. And like, this is like in the afternoon, like, and like she doesn't drink very often. She's like, yeah, I had to have a vodka and soda or vodka tonic.
Wait, you guys drink the same stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Mother like son.
Yeah. So it was fun. I was super nervous to interview my mom.
Maybe you guys both should have gone to the bar first.
I know. God.
Whatever. I'm sure it's great.
All right. Well, so yeah, without further ado, here is me and my mother,
Lisa. So,
Lisa.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
See ya. So. Yeah, so have you ever heard a podcast before?
I have. I've never listened to one.
Yeah, no, but you've heard of
the terminology.
Well, now you're on one.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So this is going to air on my birthday. So 28, does that make you feel really old? That your youngest child is 28 years old?
Yes, it's scary, but no. Are you kidding me? You guys have kept me young. At least in my head.
Yeah. So, what do you remember from the day I was born? I don't know. I haven't really, I'm sure I've maybe mentioned it before, but like, what had happened?
It was very scary. I ended up what I thought was the flu, and your dad went to work, and I just thought, oh, I've got the flu, I'm just gonna lay around. I was 6.5 months pregnant with 3 other little kids, and by the time he got home from work that evening, I couldn't even walk to the bathroom. He had to carry me. And my fever was so high, so we decided to go to the emergency room, and they said that they were saying that it was the baby was going to abort, because they didn't know, because you were so premature, how that was going to work out. They put me on medication, tried to keep the labor stable, and lo and behold, out you came, 2 pounds, 12 ounces.
Wow.
And hair all over your back and
really?
Your arms. You looked like a little monkey.
Wow.
But I barely saw you. What the problem was is I had strep A in the bloodstream, and it caused me to have such a high fever that's why internally you had to come out, because it was too hot in the oven for you. So.
Oh, wow. So you're saying all of my problems now are because of you getting sick?
Looks that way. No, and then... So anyway, oh, and your dad, because everything happened so quickly, I don't know, he lost his wedding ring.
Really?
During your birth. It was just very, all the doctors rushing around, everyone swooping you away, and that's when you, your lungs collapsed, and... they had to transport you to another hospital, and you were in ICU for 3 months.
Wow. Well, I made it.
You made it.
I have made it 28 years.
I know. So
I'm hoping to keep going a little bit longer, but I don't know. We'll see. So I wanted to, I guess before talking about anything, I wanted to kind of have people understand, I think it'll explain a lot. You know, people ask us a lot of questions like, why are you walking the lines of Warped Tour to like promote your band when like you're past the point of having to do that? And why would you do a free tour? And why do we do all these things that we do? And I think that like maybe this will explain that to people. So my dad now runs his own business and quit his job to run a pool company. And then when's the last time that you've worked, when's the last time that you've had a boss?
Well,
when's the last time you didn't own your own company and had a job? I mean, like
it was
out of high school.
It was, well, I just, once I had kids, then I stayed home. So it was, it was basically up until the time Brian was born, just a couple weeks before he was born. So that would be, 36 years.
And what was your job before?
A waitress. Oh. I mean, just, yeah.
And then you started your own company.
Then I started the catering business. Yep.
Yeah. So an average day, I'll just set like now maybe might be like you would have gotten home at night at like midnight from like doing a wedding and then wake up the next morning at 5 a.m. to like cater a breakfast and then come right home and cook for a lunch. And then do that party, come home, pick up Sophia and Jameson, and be a grandma for a couple hours. And then they leave, and then go to the store to buy food for the next party, and then help Tim with some problem that he has. And then Brian's calling you for something, and Matt and me, and then... go work another party at night and then wake up at 5 in the morning the next day.
That sounds like an average day.
Yeah. So that's kind of what like I had seen as a kid is how hard you worked. And I think that explains why we, you know, why we do what we do and why we do it in the way that we do it, you know, and can't really sit still and, you know, just want to like always be doing something. But
well, there,
so yeah, explains that. But so did you, as like we were getting older, you know, when Brian was, you know, end of high school, and you know, were you did you have it in your head your whole life that your kids were gonna like go to college and then get jobs? Like, is that, that's what you envisioned?
Yes, that was my goal, was to, you know, have my kids do more than what I did, which, you know, I didn't go to college and I have regrets over that. So I thought I'm going to push for them to do that. And I mean, I thought that was the path that you were supposed to take to be successful. And obviously I was wrong.
But so then, you know, so then Brian, you know, your oldest son starts, you know, doing things that are outside of the box as far as what you had envisioned, and like starting his own company and doing the party bus and doing all these things and having success with that. And were you freaked out and felt like disappointed that
I don't know if disappointment is the right word. Like I said, as a mother, you like safe things. Security is important, and you know, I trust me, Brian took the brunt of my being skeptical of everyone mm-hmm. owning their own business. I thought, you know, you have to work for a company, you have to, you know, just fit in this mold. And
even though you didn't do that.
No, but I thought it was important that one person did that. You know, your dad did that. He was our security. That's why I was able to start this business and, mm-hmm. you know, just have the flexibility, because I always wanted, I probably could have taken the business a little bit further, but I wanted, most importantly, to be around for the kids, and his secure job enabled me to do this. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what I pictured for all of you guys. Yeah.
And slowly, you just had to kind of accept that that wasn't the path that most of your children were going down.
Yeah, 3 out of 4. Yeah, and it's, you know, I guess, like I said, Brian probably, you know, I probably didn't give him the support that I did, like, say, you and Tim.
Because you were afraid.
Right.
Do you think part of it was, like, you're concerned of, like, what your parents or what your friends would, like, you, like, want your kids to be seen as, like, a success or no?
Well, maybe there was a point where I thought success was measured by, you know, your paycheck and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But trust me, no. Obviously I don't feel that way. I think it's based on your happiness, and mm-hmm. you know, so far I can say that, you know, everyone's pretty happy. So
yeah. All right, then, so kind of going back, what how would you describe me as a kid? Cuz pretty bad.
Well, I'm going to say that because you were in the hospital for the first 3 months of your life, I wasn't able to hold you. When they sent you home with me on a heart monitor and oxygen, I was scared, and mm-hmm. It took me a long time to bond with you. Mm-hmm. That, I, you know, if you don't hold your baby right away, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I have, you know, I
this is just a baby.
Just a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so that was a tough path for a while. Mm-hmm. But obviously we bonded.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of as I started playing music, I guess looking back now, I think that I was kind of always like obsessive with things. So like I was like on the wrestling team, and like that was the only thing that I,
right.
That was the only thought in my mind was like how to be the best at that.
Yes, and you were 55-pound libs, as you called.
Yeah, yeah.
You were the 55-pound state wrestling champ.
Yeah, and then skateboarding was probably the next thing, and that was, I was doing that before school, after school, all, you know.
Right.
And then once I started playing drums, playing in bands. Could you tell that there was a difference in that maybe I was going to like stick with it longer, or was it just like, oh, this is just one like other thing that he's going to be obsessed with for a year or two and then?
Well, I think what I saw was it's the first time that you really bonded with your friends, these people you were playing with, you know, became a big part of your life, where before the things you did, you really didn't
doing things on my own.
Right.
Yeah.
You were. So this was where I thought, you know, I was glad to see that growth. Like you were really bonding with, you know, these guys that you were doing, creating this music with. And that was really nice to see. So.
Yeah. And so we would always practice at the house.
Yes. Your house.
I had an extra bedroom that was in the band room. Was that ever annoying to have to, we're like playing music and you're trying to talk on the phone? And I mean, the volume that we were playing at was pretty extreme. And then, and this is way before the main. This is, you know,
right.
This is...
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, it was challenging, but I felt it was worth it. Now, my neighbors didn't think it was worth it, but I dealt with the music. The neighbor behind us used to come over and just, you know, yell that, you know, he was trying to work. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, I'll talk to the kids. We'll keep it down. But then he continuously came over and came over. And finally I told him he should move into a retirement community. You know, that it's 3:30 in the afternoon. It wasn't, you know, 10 at night. These kids can practice. And anyway, I think we even had police come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But the guy ended up moving, so it all worked out.
So, I guess it would have been maybe like my junior year of high school when we started the main and John came over for the first time and we started practicing, and like really quickly it went from like, you know, before we were just like a local band and playing shows, and I mean we would play a lot of shows and stuff, but do you feel like you could tell any difference right away that it was like it felt different than the other bands that just hadn't really done much? And I'm sure the songs you liked a little bit better than the Kerosene Kids, screaming and the breakdowns.
Yes. I know John probably wouldn't like to hear this, or you guys. I mean, I still remember Daisy, so I like that was one of my favorites. Yeah. You know, you could see that. You could just see it change from being kids to, you know, really thinking about this going someplace, not a garage band. But you guys had, you know, high hopes for something to happen, and I did. You could see it. And especially you were always very serious about it, the business part of it and making it work. You know, it wasn't just we're practicing. You know, you had a vision.
Yeah, which made before this band, I like people that weren't as into it, like didn't like me because
I was fighting.
I took things very, very seriously.
Very passionate.
And I was going, it was going to work. No matter, I had decided that, you know.
You were determined.
Yeah. And I think probably since like seventh grade, I kind of gave up on school because I knew that this, I mean, I think pretty much all D's except for English class because my teacher liked me, but.
Yes. Yeah, that's not one of my proud moments, but yes, that
pretty
was
much right.
A struggle, I mean, yes. Not that that was a good thing, and but
I was putting my attention on what I wanted to do, and I was like,
"You did
working
you
hard
did.
At it.
You did, yeah."
I mean, I would.
But your grades were not good.
Yeah. were you freaked out by that? Or was it like by me being the youngest kid, you had just kind of had to accept that the other ones like made all the mistakes and they ended up all right? And
yeah, I guess you learn through. Well, I guess, yeah, your hair is a perfect example. Brian and Matt. Oh my gosh, they couldn't leave for a basketball game or a football game without their hair combed and gelled and perfect. And obviously, by the fourth kid, it was like, it's only hair. You know, I'm not going to make... I guess, yes, you can say I loosened up in that area.
Yeah, because, you know, I remember... Because then Tim kind of took an interest in the music thing too, and he was working at a venue and printing t-shirts and just doing anything he could around bands and yeah. And then he went on tour long before me. I think that was he dropped out of college to go on tour.
Well, let's put it this way. He probably dropped out of college and I didn't even know it. He probably went on the tour without me knowing it.
Yeah. He probably kept like during that time in his life more of a distance between you guys than like I would anybody else. He wanted to have his own life.
Right. He definitely, you know, when he moved out and we didn't see him that much, and I think he only told us what he wanted us to know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually we found out. But
he was kind of building like this the beginning of what this whole thing ended up becoming on his own, and you know, having a t-shirt printing press in his garage, and there'd be bands over there all the time, and there'd be bands spending the night at our house.
Yes.
You know, with you guys, and you guys let these older, you know, I was 16 and there's these 20-year-old
sleeping all over
guys
the floor.
Sleeping on the floors and smoking cigarettes and
yes. Now I think what the heck, but no,
it, you know, but then
they
that,
were nice guys
that, yeah. And you know, nice, it was respect. which was Brighton band, and you know, who kind of Jimmy the one of the guys in the band that was kind of like the business guy too, he kind of ended up becoming a little bit of like a mentor to me and helped, you know, so it ended up like, you know, being a really
good thing. No, it was a positive thing. Yes. And Tim, yeah, he, you know, he probably knew we wanted him to go to school and all that. So he wasn't, but he was building. He was building without us really knowing that, you know, what his plans were too. But, no, he's done very well, and he's handled so many things that we probably don't even know everything he handles.
Yeah. You know? Oh no. Yeah. you don't. So then, you know, we start playing as the main, and kind of quickly things start going, and we go on tour for the first time. And that was the summer after my junior year.
With your dad as the driver.
No, that was when I was like 14. Oh, I was the old band.
Okay.
I was the Kerosene Kids. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the main is when we went on tour and Garrett's parents gave us their car.
Oh.
And we went on tour on our own.
Yes.
So what was that when you have your 16-year-old son on tour without any adult supervision in a suburban, you know, was that
all I can say is I have no idea how I got talked into that one, because I guess I've been known to be a little overprotective, and I have no idea why I allowed that. I don't even know how that transpired, to be perfectly honest, but yeah. I guess...
I mean, and we were going on tour with Brighton, who had been staying with us, and you had kind of known them, maybe like
there must have been
that could have been a little bit of help, and Tim didn't even come on the tour with us, which, like, if that would have happened, I could have seen why you would have felt better. But
and maybe, I don't know, I'm sure all the parents got together and talked, because that was, we would have meetings with all the parents. And we
I used to
must
hate that,
have.
Yeah. That would make me so mad. It's like, this is my business. This is my...
Oh, no. Yeah. We had to be involved. But I'm sure between all the parents, we knew you guys were, you know, good, responsible kids. But I'm sure there were things that went on that we don't know about, and... near accidents. And
yeah. Well, we got, I think it was, I don't know, John's parents or someone, like, someone gave a credit card as, like,
an emergency.
Well, and I think it was, like, get hotels, like, anytime that you need a place to stay. And we didn't do it one time. And we slept. I mean, I remember me and Garrett sleeping in the back of the Suburban. You know, we were playing at a church in downtown Detroit, you know, and me and Garrett are sleeping, and someone's banging on the door, you know, trying to break in, and you know, we're playing in West Virginia, and there only two people came to the show, and, you know, one of the guys was smoking crack out in the back alley, and it was like him and his dog. And
see, you know, these are things I probably am just learning about, because I have no recollection of them. So
yeah, it was,
that's probably why we let you keep going, because we had no idea.
So then I go back to school after that tour, and it's my last year of high school, and that's when we get signed to Fearless. And did signed a record contract, did you think that was, like, a big deal, or like, did you think, like, oh, like, this might actually be a career? Or because, like,
I thought it was, like, going to be your career. I thought, this is so exciting for these kids. Mm-hmm. How could you not, like, let them at least play this out and see?
Yeah.
But I had no idea it was going to turn into a career at the time.
Yeah. Because, like, most bands don't make it. And, you know, you guys have had, like, friends with kids that wanted to play in bands or all this stuff. And
that never made it much past the garage or playing at a church or doing something like that. So, no, I mean, it was exciting to see you guys do it. But I think the first time that I thought, oh my gosh, I'll never forget. We were in San Diego and you guys were playing at the casino. And we went to see you, and it was on this huge stage with Nicole Richie's husband, whatever.
Good Charlotte.
I've heard of them. Anyway.
You're pretty cool.
And I remember standing and watching just in the crowd, and I was basically just seeing all these people in the audience, and I just couldn't stop crying, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm watching my kid's dream actually happen right before my eyes. I think that was the first time I thought, this is really amazing. So
so a bit before that, I think a couple months into my last year of high school, I had said that we needed to go record our album, and we needed to do it halfway through the year of school. So, and John and Jared and Kenny were already done with high school, so it was me and Garrett that had to convince our parents that it'd be okay to quit, you know, going to school. And and you allowed it.
I don't know what. Once again, I have no idea what was going on in my head, but
because I remember, I don't really remember talking to you much about it, but I remember one thing with Dad is, when I was talking to him about it, and I told him, you know, he was kind of unsure, and I said, like, if I try this and it fails and I have to work at McDonald's the rest of my life, I'll be happy with that. At least that I know that I tried. And then he just instantly was like, okay,
Yeah. I mean, that, I guess, was where we decided, you know, we're going to try to make this all possible. And
so
there were the online classes.
Yeah. So you ended up finishing my online classes for me that I was supposed to do while I was recording the album.
Yeah.
Which I didn't take any of them. It was all you.
Got an A in senior English. I think that's probably better than I did when my own.
You did it, yeah. But you know, so that first album, you know, it was all written in your house, you know, in that bedroom, and it was being recorded while you were finishing my high school, and then not that much long after, you know, it's you know, you went to Target to buy it. You know, you're buying,
yes,
Tide Pods and whatever, and then your son's album, and then the next week we're on MTV, and
yes, it was.
Was that
very?
Is that cool or weird or?
Oh well, yeah, I had to take everyone in I knew to go see the CDs at Target and and MTV. We recorded that, and we had that until I think our DVR went out, and now it's lost. But no, it was surreal. It's amazing, or to hear it. I remember it playing at Target. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh my gosh, it's, you know, and telling people that are walking by, that's my son. So, yeah.
Like, but I mean, at that point though, you probably like, did you think I'd be doing it now?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know if I thought I'd be doing it now.
Now it's hard to think, you know, of you not doing it, I guess. But, you know, just because you can see just, you know, your passion for it. So I guess I just hope that, you know, it can continue.
Well, yeah, that's the same. I'm trying to look at my notes here. I had a couple things written down that I thought would be interesting. So me and Tim working together and kind of building this all together, you know, your two sons, what do you think about that? Is that,
well, I first off, you guys were always close. I mean, always very close as little kids. And it's just nice. I don't know. I guess there's comfort, too, in you guys being on the road and knowing that you and Tim stay connected and bonded and, you know, that you're taking your dreams. You know, you have someone to share this with. You know, it's very... Mm-hmm. He's the only one who really knows the ins and outs and exactly what you're feeling and mm-hmm. what you're wanting of this. He's trying to give it to you. So, no, it's very nice. I think that's what probably makes it even more special. You know, it's not just one kid that's, you know, pursuing his dream. It's like the two of you together are making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it more special that... You know, you guys have it to share together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very proud.
Yeah. Right? And it's, you know, it's interesting because, like, you know, I mean, was there ever a time when you realized, you know, so you're saying, like, even, you know, that first album you watched us at the casino or something, mm-hmm. and, like, you, like, thought it was really awesome and cool, but... Was there ever a time when you were like, oh, now this is actually just like, this is just like, this is actually going to be a long term, like they're a real band that's going to like,
oh, continue, well, like, really, I even thought at that point, you know, you had just hit that next level, I guess, where it's like, okay, this is serious. Mm-hmm.
Like until you started thinking of it as like, oh, this is like not just his hobby. Like, did it take like when I bought my house, or did it take like things like that to make it feel like, oh, my son, like this is,
it's a business that it's, yeah, probably, you know, you still always thought of it. And I guess it's as you've gotten older and, you know, like you said, buying a house and, you know, seeing
not buying a car still.
Well, yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And you can come home whenever you want.
Thanks.
We miss you at home. Yeah, I guess it's just that you've, like I said, I've seen it turn into a business, and at the same time, not only a business, it's your passion. So. Mm-hmm. That makes it, I don't know, I guess I don't worry anymore. I don't worry about, oh my gosh, is he going to be working at Taco Bell? I don't mm-hmm. worry. There was a time when I worried and thought, okay, he doesn't have a college degree. What's he going to do? And I guess now I've seen, you know, how you've taught yourself to do so many different things in the industry, the recording and, you know, you just see it now as this is his future. So mm-hmm. it's a good thing.
Yeah. And what, you know, let's just say there's, you know, some girl or kid on here that, you know, she wants to be a photographer or wants to be a manager of a band or wants to do anything that's not just going to college. And then she wants to play this for her mom. To show her, like, what would you say? What would you?
Well, I think what I've learned from going through from the oldest, you know, to the youngest, whatever, is that they're all going to make their own path, and you might as well support it instead of fight it. And I think I fought it, obviously, with my oldest and, which I shouldn't have, but you know, you're doing it because you want the best for your kid. And I just guess anymore, you got to let them figure it out, try it out. And if it doesn't work, just be there and, you know, help them get then to the next step. So got to try and support it. That would be my advice.
Yeah.
Even though it's hard. Makes your stomach hurt sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, even as I'm older, it's like early on, like when, you know, we're going to these countries, you know, going to like these countries that are so different, you know, going like parts in Asia and, you know, all these things in Brazil and, you know, all these places that, you know, most people, you know, hear on the news of like, some like dangerous things that happen, or, you know, we're in Paris 2 weeks after, you know, an attack, or, you know, like any of these things. Is that still hard to?
Of course, yeah. That will never go away. I don't care how old you guys are. You know, and like I said, when you, I guess you're the one who's probably taught me that this can happen anywhere. You can't live your life like this, you know, all that, which it's true. It's just easier to say than being a parent.
Not be worried about
right,
it. Yeah.
You want to protect. But no, I mean, like I said, I can sleep now. There were times I couldn't sleep. Very sleep deprived for a while, but that's okay. It was worth it.
Yeah, and then I think a kind of like a thing that I think is kind of funny is like, so, you know, you are proud of, you know, all these things that we've done, but you know we've played shows, you know, to 50,000 people and done all these things and whatever, and then, but I think the, you know, like the most excited that you've ever been is like, I'm going to the Playboy Mansion for a party, or you know, whatever, like we spent the night at Nicole Richie's house, and she's making us breakfast, and you know, and then, or what was it the other last year, Halle Berry was like at the shoot, and she told us we looked good in our all white suits. Yeah,
that's the stuff I loved here. What can I say?
Pretty
well,
funny.
It's things that you hear about, on ET, and I want to know it before it gets on TV. And you're giving me just a little bit, or you guys being on the football field with the Super Bowl ring. I mean, it's things that not everyone gets to do. It makes it just exciting, kind of live through you a little bit.
Yeah.
Our mundane lives.
And you guys, have always come out to shows, and you've seen us in Ireland.
Yeah.
And a bunch of places, right?
California, all over
bunch,
California.
Yeah. You came to Warped Tour. I mean, if people remember the matching suits we were wearing on Warped Tour, my mom and my brother they drove out to Warped Tour, and they show up. They went and bought outfits that were matched on.
We went to H&M and got, the funniest part was Brian in one dressing room and I'm in the dressing room next to him, and we're passing pants underneath, to see, will these fit you? These will fit me.
Just like never, you're just always trying to be embarrassing, when dad, we were at the skate park when I was younger, and he told a kid that I was a sponsored skateboarder, and I was sponsored by my dad.
And you guys wouldn't talk to us, and I know why.
I think that's the thing that you learn is for as terrible as I was at certain times as a kid, just being a brat, we'd like go to the beach on vacation and I wouldn't want to go to the beach,
we'd all have to stay, or I'd have to stay behind with you or whatever.
Yeah, and then as I got older, selling alcohol out of my bedroom window.
Do you want to talk about why you didn't get to go to your eighth grade promotion dance?
I'm kind of. I'm not really a dance guy, So.
Well, no, happy, but you couldn't go to the water park. You got.
And
you couldn't walk.
I couldn't walk in graduation.
Do you remember why?
I think I climbed a statue of a bear on a field trip and humped it or something. Yeah.
So we get a call from the principal saying, Patrick was humping a bear. It was inappropriate, and. Yeah. He now can't walk at his promotion. Oh my gosh.
Which again, the benefit of being the youngest child is that I didn't get in much trouble for it. And then then it's things getting a gun pulled on me for taking for taking fast food from someone. I stole their food, and you get a with a bunch of friends, and you get a call from the cops, and
yes, and the gun's pulled on you, and you're on a chase.
Yeah,
he's chasing after you in a car, and oh my! Or when didn't you guys used to ride around and do something with the garage doors? What were you always?
I'm embarrassed to say this.
I know. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that.
We would a couple times. I don't know why we wanted to do this. It was just you're bored and in high school, and we would run, and all at the same time you get five people and you run 1, 2, 3 and then you jump and they all kick the garage door at the same time and you just break it in.
Terrible. Did I find out? You never got caught though.
No, I think I told you
after the fact.
Yeah, a long time after the fact. But I think I've ended up okay.
Yes,
and being pretty nice. So I guess maybe that's also another lesson, is maybe you don't freak out too early. thinking that your kids are just gonna be horrible.
No, I would say you're definitely a very considerate, nice. You're probably, I have to say, one of the nicest people I know. So. Mm. That's...
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
I think, you know, you guys are always so supportive of kind of like anything. And there was a while where I didn't think that was the case, because I thought like dad, if I wasn't like on the wrestling team, I thought that that's like what he like wanted me to do. And then I quit. And then so I would like, you know, get angry about that and be like, you know, you're supporting Tim because he's on the wrestling team still and blah, blah, blah. And then I didn't, like, looking back, I didn't realize, I'm just being a brat because, you know, he drove me to Chicago to go to a concert of one of my favorite bands from Arizona, and would, you know, you guys would,
well, and Dad kind of like to,
take us everywhere to
when you were into skateboarding. Yeah. That was one of our vacations. We went to every skate park in the state or in California, wherever at that point. But, you know, I guess you probably have to think back and realize that really there was support there, even though, you know, yeah, sure, you got, you know, we weren't totally supportive of every like you hit breaking in garage doors.
But you know, I think the way that what like our 8123 thing, and you know what we did with the festival and what we do with the free tour,
amazing,
and all these different things that we do, and you know, I would like to pride ourselves on at least like, maybe not like, maybe we're not the best band of all time, but like maybe we'll be like the hardest working band of all time, and to treat our fans the best of anybody. And, you know, I think a lot of that comes from seeing what you did, and, you know, it's kind of like lots of bands fail, lots of businesses fail, but you kind of like, you just... It didn't, your business didn't fail because you just made it happen. You know, it's like, are you cooking the best food of anybody in the world?
No.
But you do a good job, and then, and you work,
yeah,
you know, super hard.
Well, I would say, I hope that, and I know that's with all of my kids. They're all conscientious, hardworking people. And yeah. I mean, I'm sure I learned that from my family. So that's just. Yeah.
But you guys, you know, like the reason that we don't have a merch guy for our next tour is because Dad gave Vito a pool business, basically, and a car and all these things to like start this company. And you know, you've had other you know, friends of ours that needed work at the time are, you know, working for you guys, and you know, you're always trying to help whoever and. And then we, you know, I think that's kind of like bled into what we do as a band. Guys, and
I think what's so unusual about your band, and, you know, obviously I don't know all that many bands, but I think what's really special to watch is that you guys really like each other. I mean, that is the...
Where's your phone ringing?
Oh, gosh. It's probably your dad checking on me.
Yeah, it's okay. Later. We can let it ring. But
no, but you guys truly like each other. You truly think of each other as family. You know, yeah. Timmy, with all of his friends, he's been friends with those kids since kindergarten. And they're like family. And that's how you guys treat each other. And... there's such a strong bond, and I don't know. I think the secret is you're on tour together all this time. And usually you'd think, oh my God, they've been together forever. They just have to get away from each other. And
then me and Garrett are hanging out the next day.
And the next day, it's like, it's crazy. So I think that's what makes it so special is, you know, you love what you're doing and you love the people you're doing it with. So makes it very special.
I just want to say thanks for being a good example to me and to everyone. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people now, I think, like my age and like a lot of my friends and or just like people in general that I talk to, you know, it's like people, you know, don't want to really have kids as much anymore, you know, and all these things. And I think that you know, probably the only reason, the main reason that I like want to have a family, want to have kids and like do all this, you know, and along with like keeping my like career and, you know, is because I was able to like see, you know, like you guys helped raise four people that I think are doing really good things for the world, where, you know, most people have this attitude of like, oh, I don't want to like bring kids into this horrible world and things, you know, there's obviously a lot happening all the time, especially now that, you know, but I think that you guys have like shown me that like there's a lot of you know, you can set a good example and make the world better even just by being a good person. So
no, I've got good kids, uh-huh. But
thanks for being my mom.
Oh,
thanks for being on the podcast.
Well, I love you, Pookie.
Yeah, I love you too. Alrighty. Well, this has been me and my mom talking. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. She had to have a drink before this because she was so afraid to be on a microphone. So, but all right, talk to you next week. Bye.